Hello. I'm super jazzed today because I connected with this person on LinkedIn and I just got so interested in how he approaches problems and how he comes up with solutions and gadgets and patents and kind of things that I'm not that familiar with being a writer. So, welcome, Peter Lisowski. Did I say it right?
You did. Thank you, Erica. I
Okay.
appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Yeah, I was scared.
I know it's a little bit of a tough one, but it actually sounds like it's spelled. So if you do it phonetically, it works out.
It's absolutely true. I mean, it shouldn't be that complicated. I think no, well, if people mess my name up like crazy. Like it's glessing. It's to me it sounds so easy, but people are like gleasing and glazing and I mean they're like all over the map with it, and so I'm like as a blessing with the G, and it's funny. People can but anyhow, tell me where I'm talking to you. Where are you located?
I'm actually up about an hour north of San Diego, California, up in the mountains in wine country up here in Murrieta, Temecula area. So that's where I reside.
Oh, nice. I know
It's
that
nice. It's
area.
about 82 today
Yeah.
and sun. It's nice out.
Yeah. My
Yeah.
brother's in Newport Beach
Yeah, it's
area.
a nice area. It's a nice area. We're up
Yeah.
in the very rural part. There's no street lights. You can see the stars at night. It's very remote. That's how I grew up in Washington State, and I love it out here.
Yeah, you just don't have all the rain.
Well, true. Although last winter with El Nino, we got a boatload of rain down here in
Did you
California.
really? Oh, that's right.
Get it
That's
again this
right.
winter. So we'll
Yeah.
see. That's kind of the reason why I got out of Seattle. But now it's like Seattle South. We're in the wintertime.
Oh my goodness.
Crazy.
I know. It was pretty funny. Well, where I live, it's pretty dry, but it's Northern California, so it's nice. Let's talk a little bit about this whole coming up with a concept or coming up with a new idea, coming up with something that's sort of like cutting edge, or like I think people are really scared to come up with something new, like it might fail. So tell us a little bit about that process of just being inventive.
That's a great question. I've been doing this for over 30 years, both in the corporate world and now in my own company for the last several years. Innovation is a funny thing. I just wrote a post, Erica. It's up on LinkedIn if anybody who's listening wants to go check it out on my profile. But the dirty secret in product development is 80% of products fail. Only 20%. And that is just for everything from Apple all the way on down. When you go through a process of coming up with an innovation, the first thing I always look at is in what we're doing is we want to find an obvious solution to a non-obvious problem. And this gets into the whole idea of category design. And in that post, I tell people, get the book, Play Bigger. Play Bigger, my friend Christopher Lockhead with his buddies wrote that. It's how do you define a new category? Category kings are things like Uber and Google and things that we know that they've risen to the top, and it's because they've done something different, right? So when we look at product development, I don't just want to create a better product. I want to create something different, and I want to create a category. Like our new product we're launching is called Relatable. It's interactive video relationships. That's our category. Everybody else watches, TikTok, YouTube, that's videos, but it doesn't develop relationships. It's passive, right? So that's step one.
Well, I want to pause you right there just for a minute, just because when I was like coming up as a writer, and I've been writing my whole life, I was told different. I was told like it's like Big but with a twist, like a movie, or it's like this but it's that. Like if you have a category that no one's heard of, that was sort of described as like, well, how can you market that? Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, that's why, I made the comment, you find an obvious solution to a non-obvious problem. So there's the one where you find a non-obvious solution to an obvious problem. We like to take, so for example, in that one, so the obvious solution is video. Everybody knows video, everybody does video. The non-obvious problem is when you go to TikTok and YouTube, you're a set of eyeballs and an IP address to sell ads to. So the not obvious solution is if I'm a business owner, That's great. I can build a subscriber list, but I can't build relationships with those people, and I can't bring them into my world to nurture and develop relationships. So that's why we developed this category. Yeah.
I think one of the things I've noticed is, I don't know how to say this. I was helping my son find something online. He was visiting me. And then like a minute and a half later, Facebook puts into my feed an ad based on that, right?
Yeah.
And it was startlingly different from something I would normally be interested in.
Yeah.
So it, like when it's something you're already interested in and you're always looking at it, and you're always crazy about it, right? Then it makes sense. It would be in your feed, right?
Right.
This was one of those things that was so obvious, so blatant that they were watching me on. That's why I do so many searches incognito.
That leads, and that's part of the other thing that I think is a really big deal. If people are going to develop a product, is we don't just develop a product for product's sake. It has to be different, but we want to create a movement. I don't want to just create something that someone else has done. So here's a good example we're working on here. And we speak out. This is point number two. What is the vision and direction for your company? And in there, I talk about you have to define what you stand for and what you stand against. So, for example, in our world, if you look at, there's the native analogs and the native digitals, and that's a whole nother discussion itself. But the native digitals are 35 years and younger. They're over 50% of the population on Earth now. They are taking over and they're transforming the internet. And things like the native analogs created the internet. They created all the rules. They created ads, algorithms, email marketing, everything. And the native digitals are rejecting that. They're going towards interaction and community. And that's why you're seeing a bunch of companies and entrepreneurs shifting to interaction and community. That's why our product fits with interaction.
Let me just pause you there for a sec, because for people who don't go as fast as you, because you go really fast, I just want to I'll liken it to my children versus me.
Yeah.
So my children are in their 20s, and how they do everything is so different. And I'm running into this with one of my children who's in college. And the systems of the back end of the college are still like they were when I went to UC Davis, which was 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And the back end is almost the same. Like, it's online, but it's almost the same. Like, if you know what I'm saying. Now, how my kids think is completely different.
Yeah.
Like how they learn and how they approach something. And my son got something and he couldn't get it to work. And I said, and so he just went to YouTube and he watched DIY videos. And within like 12 minutes, he had it all operational. Cause I pushed back, cause I could have done it, but it would have taken me longer. Cause he's that digital age. So I'm curious about that, like some of the other differentials.
Well, just to expand on that. I mean, you know, I have two boys too that are native digitals. You know, native digitals, they do. I don't know if your kids are video gamers. Mine are. So they have friends all over the world on videos and they chat on Discord. They've never met these people. But in native digitals world, their world, the online is their primary reality and they're tourists in the physical reality. We're totally different as native analogs. Native digital, you can, you know, you'll crack up when I say this, right? What a native digital do, they'll come up to your house. They won't come and knock on the door. They'll sit in the car and text and go, I'm here. That's a native digital, right? I mean, these are things that you laugh at. It's true. That's what these kids do. And the whole idea, like you talk to native digitals in YouTube. I know a few YouTubers. They're very popular. They have big followings. If you talk to them about email, Erica, they go, email, why would I want to do that? I've got my community.
They don't do email. It won't reach them. Like someone's now, if you're trying to reach people my age, then email still works.
Well, it does, but to a certain extent. I mean, if you look at all of the statistics now, email open rates on across all industries is only 20%, and it's a 1-2% click-through rate. So email is crumbling. This is what we stand against, because if, you know, the whole idea of these funnels, one-way funnels, you know, all of that stuff, that's not developing a relationship. If you take them down through a funnel, the focus really for funnels and email is transactional. It's not relationship. It's about the customer's wallet, not the customer as a relationship. And if we really go back to the way we look at things as people, we want relationships. We don't want to be treated like transactions or wallets.
I just think it's challenging for like someone when you say, you know, build a community. Like, I know some people are good at that, but it seems like a rare skill.
Well, it's, you know, it's one of those things where, well, let's go back to you and I when the internet was first started back in 1993. And people will go, wow, it's really hard to develop websites. That's a rare skill. Well, at that time, yes, it was. But over time, tools came along and frameworks to make website building very, very easy. So you're seeing that
WordPress.
Yeah, I mean, WordPress, Wix. I mean, you can basically drag it. Now you have artificial intelligence that can, you put in the text and it builds a website for you. So, you know, we're at that same nexus where community, sounds foreign. People think it's hard to do, but it really isn't. We have a Substack. We have several thousand people that have come in over the last 3 months. And, you know, if you have, like, you're a writer, if you have good things to write about, good content, and that's a whole nother thing is, you know, I always talk about once you see it, you can't unsee it. There's so many people on social media doing status quo and regurgitating and doing curation. I would like to see people do actual content that makes people think, that's reflective. And, you know, it doesn't have to be, because that's the other thing about native digitals, Erica. They have their term TLDR, too long, didn't read. So they're not even reading. They're watching and listening. That's why podcasts are.
You know, it's funny too, because I've been publishing books. I'm a third generation publisher. And just a few years ago, I just was looking at the landscape and I just started going into video and podcasting just to kind of be in a medium that felt relevant. And I liked being relevant, but people still do love books, but it's kind of interesting. Tell me a little bit more about this interactive video opportunity or thing that you're working on. Tell me what you can tell me about that. It sounds pretty interesting.
Well, you know, we looked at out there in the landscape, like I said, YouTube and TikTok, they're great, but it's eyeballs, it's scroll and things like that. So there's really, you know, business people in B2B, they want to develop, they want to have relationships with customers, not treat them as transactions. And so it's not just, hey, I go get my audience on social media, but I have to have a way to nurture them and then convert them. But then how do I interact with them and turn them from customers into advocates in my business? So interactive video relationships is about creating an interactive experience with video questions and what we call touchables, which are these clickables on the screen, where viewers, we don't call them users, because here's the thing. Edward Tufte, who is an emeritus, I think, of Stanford University, said, and I agree with him, this is from The Social Dilemma, there are two industries that call people users: illegal drugs and software. And so we don't do that. We call them viewers because they're human beings. They're people.
You know, the other thing, and when you talk about that, what I love about my life, and I guess it's just kind of a blessed place, is I will work with people often for years and years. Like, I think I was on a podcast interview with someone the other day I've known 10 years. And we were both kind of laughing at who we were when we met. And I think this whole thing of being in it for the long game is super interesting to me. When I look at my son, at the people he interacts with online, you know what? They stay pretty loyal.
Yeah. Yeah. He's building a group of fans, of advocates, right? So, but that whole idea, I mean, if we look at, this is about, you know, going back to interactive video, is it's not just the inexperience. It's about how do you re-engage them? How do you bring them back into that experience? But you're doing it based on what they said they're interested in, because that's another big thing. In the Substack we have, I wrote about the 7 undeniable truths in the world going on. And number 7 is everybody wants personalization and relevant content to them. You know, the days of one size fits all marketing are over. In fact, people are rejecting it and they're getting annoyed by it. So, you know, being able to re-engage them, what we can do is we can re-engage back to a spot where they left off in the video, or we can re-engage them with other video content based on how they answer questions in the experience. And so now, you know, I would love to, Erica, like you and I, to get to know each other. It'd be great to go to Starbucks and have a cup of coffee. That's really developing relationships. The problem with that is you can't scale it, right? So we had to come up with a way to use technology to scale relationships where you can be in front of millions of people, but you're interacting with them and they're interacting with you through video. And then you can re-engage them back to experiences that they want, right? I have a distributed team.
I know, Peter, I know that you could probably do a TED Talk on this, and then you could probably do like a 5-week classroom seminar on this. Yeah. And we're in this little window of a podcast episode, and we're just about kind of getting near the end of the podcast interview. So I'd like you to kind of go in that beautiful mind of yours and just see if there's one or two other little nuggets of wisdom you'd like to share with my audience.
Well, I just think that, you know, it's really about interaction and community. And for everybody listening out there, if you're a business owner, just go out and start doing research on how do I create better interaction and develop a community. There's resources out there for that. You can also go to our Substack. It's berelatable.substack.com. It's free and you can subscribe. We have articles, we have interactive videos, so you can actually see what this looks like in that world.
I love it. Yeah. I know. It's so exciting. Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate you stopping by and giving a moment to my audience. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was great to have me on. Thank you, Erica.